You know, we encourage you as a pastor, when you're in an uncertain situation, go back and revisit all the things that God already did for you in previous seasons of your life. Maybe God brings you back to Bethel sometimes just to remind you of when you killed it, when you're struggling. And maybe God brings you back to Bethel sometimes to remind you of things that you accomplished that really defy your educational background or your pedigree or anything that you were taught or trained to do. Maybe God brings you back to Bethel sometimes to remember all the ways that you even surprised yourself. Wow, I didn't even know that I could do that. But see, the more I meditated on it, I realized that that wasn't really what Bethel meant to Jacob. Because the first time he went to Bethel, he was scared to death. So now Jacob is in a place in his life where he's never been more uncertain. And God leads him back to a place where he had never been more uncertain. And when he is in need of the greatest faith, God takes him back to the place of his greatest fear. The first time that Jacob went to Bethel, he had no idea what would happen next. His brother wants to kill him. His uncle is someone that he has never been exposed to. He's only heard about. Jacob is 77 years old the first time that he goes to Paddan Aram and stops through a place called Bethel. Bethel was not a place where Jacob shouted and danced. Jacob was not in Bethel feeling goosebumps. Jacob was not in Bethel singing praise songs. Jacob was in Bethel wondering, will I make it? And so now God says, in the season of your life, and I'm preaching to somebody, where you have no idea how you have enough to defend yourself from the attack that's happening, because you've got a lot on you right now. You've got a lot on you. Some of it is your fault. Some of it is decisions that others have made. And none of it is anything that you have ever experienced, because you are the oldest that you've ever been. And you have never progressed through this season of your life, this stage of your development. You have never been through this emotional place before. So now what does God do? He doesn't call you back to the place where you felt the greatest faith. He calls you back to the place where you felt the greatest fear, but you made it anyway. To remind you what it really felt like when God revealed himself to you. Because we whitewash our understanding of what it means to remember what God did. You know, I wonder, do you remember how it really felt at certain stages in your life? Like, close your eyes. Let's go to Bethel, because we can't go to a place. We're not going to load up the church vans or anything like that. There's too many of y'all and you're too spread out. So close your eyes. We got to go to Bethel, but we got to go in our imagination. Remember the time, anytime you want. I got enough to choose from. I've got an entire cafeteria of times to choose from, when you thought you wouldn't make it. I'm not going to make it another day. There's no way forward for this. Okay, remember, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Like, to me, I'm not going to make it up to the pulpit. I have nothing left to say. I'm not going to make it through this, what I feel right now. I think I'm losing. Okay, all right, you got it? And I know that for some of us, it's a hard place to visit, but I want you to go there for just a moment. I'm not going to make it. That's how Jacob felt the first time in Bethel. And he saw a vision while he was asleep, and he saw a ladder resting on the earth and reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. 20 years later, God calls him back to that same place called Bethel, where he thought he wouldn't make it. And you thought you wouldn't make it. On the inside, everything was telling you, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Open your eyes. You did. No. You did. And Jacob is now instructed to build an altar in the place of his greatest fear. And that's where God calls you to build an altar and to believe him. to believe him in Bethel. In fact, one time the scripture calls God the God of Bethel. I'm not sure if I like that, because Bethel is scary. Bethel is when you don't know. Bethel is the place where you can't figure it out and all you have is faith. God said, I'm the God of Bethel. That's where my house is. That's where my habitation is. That's where I live. That's where I reveal. That's where I show myself. That's where you get to know me. I'm the God of Bethel. And Jacob is afraid. And God says, I want you to go back to the place you were most afraid and build an altar there. Because if you don't, what's on you is going to cause you to forget what's in you. So I need you to go. Somebody say, it's always been in me. It's always been in me. I need you to go to the place where you didn't think you would make it. I want you to go to the place where you didn't know what was next. I need you to go to the place where you realized, where, and this is the crazy thing about Bethel, right? Like, this might be your Bethel right now. What you are going through right now might be the place that you go back to in the future when your family needs to know that God is a promise keeper and that God is a way maker. So I need to teach you about a concept. This is not a pop culture concept. It's the concept of covenant. Everybody say covenant. Jacob isn't just going off of a good feeling. Jacob isn't just going off of a track record. Jacob isn't going off of a fortune cookie. Jacob isn't going off of an emotional high. Jacob isn't going off of something that he got from Jacob's not going off of something that he read on one Bible verse of the day. He has a covenant. Say covenant. Now, in the Bible, a covenant can be, first of all, it can be with another person. It can be, in the Bible, the context of marriage was not convenience, it was covenant. In the Bible, the context of my relationship with God was not my behavior, it was my covenant with him. Covenant. Covenant. Jacob is moving, not in certainty, he's moving in covenant with God. You know that the relationship that I have with God is not based on the same covenant that Jacob had. Jacob had a covenant with God that God will be with me. And that's awesome. How many thank God that he's with you? That's awesome. But look what happens. On our end of the bargain, we can't keep that up. Oh, so you followed God perfectly through every season of your life. Of course in the valley you faint. Of course in the hard times you get led astray. Of course your heart is drawn to other gods to worship things that you can see instead of the God that you can't see or figure out. So God said in Jeremiah 31, this is what he said in Jeremiah 31. He said, I'm going to give you a different covenant. These days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. I will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors, says Jacob, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That's the inside. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his son, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful men. I don't have the Jacob covenant. I have the Jesus covenant. I have a covenant that whatever you put on me, God put something in me that is greater than what you put on me. So I know you got a lot on you, but I came to preach there's something in you that has always been greater. Are you getting this revelation? It's in me. When Jacob said God has always been with me, I know why he's been with you, because he's in you.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.